So once again, words on the screen. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. So I wonder whether anyone actually knows what type of seeds these are. They are indeed sunflower seeds. So picture of a sunflower, hopefully on the screen. They are sunflower seeds. Now, I want you to take a guess. Anyone have a guess? How tall can a sunflower grow? Somebody put their hand up. Yes, at the back. About that high. No, it can grow taller than that. 8 foot? 20 foot. Whoa. So they can grow to a height, apparently, of about 15 feet. That's 4.5 meters. That's over double the height of me. We've got a picture of one on the screen. It's so tall, I couldn't get it all in the shot. So 15 foot high. And you will know, of course, that the middle of a sunflower, the head of a sunflower, is packed with sunflower seeds. How many seeds do you think you might... Somebody wants to count them? No, how many seeds? How many seeds might you get in the middle of a sunflower? At the back, yes?
A lot.
Apparently, up to 2,000 seeds. From this comes a 15-foot plant, potentially, with 2,000 more of these. You see, when Jesus died, he had no followers. They'd all run away. Well, at least all the men had run away. Some of the women seemed to be a bit braver and certainly even had the courage to go to the tomb once he had died and take some spices to try to anoint his body. But basically, the point is that when Jesus died in this tragic time, he had hardly any followers. But then he rose from the dead and God brought him back to life again. And well, now, how many seeds are there? Well, just put your hands if you count yourself to be, raise your hands, sorry, if you just count yourself to be a follower of Jesus. Well, it's reckoned in the world that there are, I don't know, of the region of 660 million followers of Jesus. I'll do the cleaning, Andy. 660 million people who actively follow Jesus. 660 million people who call God Father. 660 million people who are reassured they are forgiven. 660 million people who have an antidote to guilt and shame. 660 million people who have a vision of how to live generously, not selfishly, and with grace, not with hatred, and with hope, and not with despair. Does anyone feel like we need a bit of hope in life at the moment? Yeah? We have this reason. Oh, yes, okay. Says a man, he's got a daughter who's called Hope. We have this reason to have hope, not despair, because of Jesus rising from the dead. And 660 million people, so my question for you is, are you among them? Are you among them? Jesus died and rose again, not for his own sake, but for yours. He died and rose again so that you might have life and to put aside any despair and loneliness and emptiness and replacing them with the conviction that you are loved and valued and that you have a purpose. You are loved and valued and you have a purpose. This is what Jesus' resurrection means. So, one more time. Truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You'll be doing that all day, I hope, when you go home. Now then, if you are, let's say, if you're school age and you would like to actually just experiment with this, Judy at the back has lots of seeds and some small pots and a bit of compost. And if you would like to go, you don't have to, but if anybody would like to go and plant a seed and then take it home with you, and you can water it and see whether it will grow into a sunflower. You might have to plant it in the garden if it gets a bit big, if you want a 15-foot sunflower. So if you want to do that, Judy's at the back. People don't know who Judy is. Wave to other people. So if you want to go and do that, you carry on. I want to keep talking about one or two other things. So I'm going to read the last part. Well, I'm going to read the whole reading. So Anna, if you could have the next slide, please. This is the passage from which that verse comes. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And the Greeks came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Now, these very dull verses in John chapter 12 actually mark the turning point of the whole gospel. Up until these verses, you've had 11 and a half chapters of what Jesus has done and said, which spans roughly 3 years of his life. After he speaks these words, the rest of the gospel, all eight chapters, covers only 72 hours. So 11 and a half chapters for 3 years, eight chapters for just 72 hours. And the point here is that the people coming to speak to Jesus, who want to get to see him, are Greeks. They're not Jewish, they're Greeks. So they symbolize the rest of the world. They symbolize us. We are invited to come to him and benefit from Jesus' death for us and the new life he gives us. Now, Jesus kind of actually pretty much ignores their request, actually. We don't hear from them again. We don't know what happened to these Greek people. And Jesus says this, next verse. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." In other words, Jesus says, right, now that these Greeks have come to me, now is the moment. The end game begins, the final chapter, the story's climax, the moment of his glory. And in John's gospel, when Jesus is glorified, that is shorthand for Jesus' death and resurrection. Elsewhere in John, it talks about Jesus being glorified when he is lifted up. And in John's gospel, that means he was lifted up on the cross and he was lifted up from the grave. So he's lifted up and he is glorified, which is kind of a bit bizarre, because is there anything more brutal and dreadful than being crucified? How can that possibly be part of Jesus being glorified? Well, it's presumably because, as Jesus says a few chapters later, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. The cross is glorious because it reveals the depth of the love of God. Today, you occasionally hear, I don't know, maybe of somebody donating a kidney so a family member may live. Or you may occasionally hear of a person perhaps who jumps into a fast-flowing river to save a friend. Or you occasionally hear of a soldier who crawls across ground under fire to rescue a buddy. Just a few people risk their lives for love of others. Well, at the cross, Jesus gave up his life for love of you and me. So let's read on. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The person who loves their life will lose it, and the one who hates their life will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father and I will honor the one who serves me. But now my soul is troubled. So what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So here, after we've received the promise of new life, there is a challenge for us. And it is a difficult challenge. There'll be the wonder and the triumph of resurrection, but first of all, there is a self-giving and suffering of the cross. Now, you and I, we cannot replicate what Jesus did. His death is unique. His resurrection is the first of its kind. We can't replicate it, but we can emulate it. We can copy it in some way, and we can therefore emulate something of his glory. We can, as he says here, serve him by following where he goes. We can, in other words, be willing to lay down our lives for love of others. And if and when we do this, this is the point, then our actions will demonstrate the glory of God. For every time you make a sacrifice, every time you lay down your own interest or priority or privilege or entitlement or power, every time you do that, then in some small way, we reveal the love of God and we reveal the glory of God. And from our sacrifice, the seed that we let fall and be buried, from that resurrection comes and God's power is shown. So look, today we celebrate rightly this glorious story, this death and raising to life of Jesus that reveals God's love for us and reveals the power of sacrifice to defeat death. Fantastic. And if you've never put your faith in that and you've never understood that that is for you, then receive it today and ask Jesus to come into your life and know his resurrection power. But for those of you who are fully familiar with that story and you signed up ages ago to believing in Jesus, here's the challenge. In your life, what needs to be allowed to die that new life may come? What single grain do you need to let fall that many seeds might spring up? Is it a grudge with someone? Well, let it go. Is it unforgiveness? Let it go. Is it pride? Let it go. Is it a dream whose pursuit consumes you? Let it go. Or is it just plain old self-interest that chokes your generosity to others, whether that's about time or friendship or money? Let it go. What new life, what glory is waiting to flourish if we would follow Jesus? He set the pattern before us. Can you emulate him? So I'm just going to leave that question on the screen just for a moment. Let's just pause and be quiet for a minute, and then I'm going to pray. Father God, we want to be resurrection people. We want to be those who have that hope because of what Jesus did. We want to be those who are brought back to the Father, who know God because, Jesus, of what you have done and the life you give. But we also want to be people, resurrection people, who believe and hope in your power in this world now and today to make good what is broken and to restore what is decayed and to bring new life to what is dead. We want to be people who believe in this power, not just for the next world, when, yes, we hope to share your heavenly presence in eternity, but for now, for the things that bother us in this moment. Lord, give us faith in your power. And in a moment of quietness, we bring to you those people and those situations where we long to see your transformation emerge and your kingdom grow. And just in the quietness of our hearts, we name them before you, Lord God. And Lord God, some of those people we have just thought about, some of those circumstances, they might be very personal to us about the struggles and trials of friends or family members, or they may be about situations which are really big, about some of the things that bother us around our world. Either way, Lord Jesus, bring your resurrection power to transform those situations and people. May we see the growth of hope and the banishment of despair. So, Lord Jesus, after your death and resurrection and ascension, you gave us your Holy Spirit. So may we today be filled with your Spirit so we are inspired and emboldened to live sacrificially and so reveal something of your glory to those we are close to our neighbours and even to strangers. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Has everyone got their little pots of